Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Norris and Parker Sketch Therapy.
Episode 4.
It's very exciting.
It is.
Thank you for continuing to listen, guys. It's going up every week. People are subscribing, so we're very happy.
Yep, we're determined to get more reviews, though. So And as this week's episode theme is guilt, if you don't leave us a review, and you listen to this episode, I just want you to wallow in your own guilt.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we'll do terrible things if we don't get more subscribers.
Our self-esteem is based on that. So just subscribe, review, 5 stars.
Exactly. So yeah. Should we move on to the therapy part of the show?
Yes.
Where I ask you how you are and you ask me how I am.
I'll start. How are you, Katie?
Oh, I'm well. So last episode I mentioned that I was starting my Roaccutane journey, which is my sort of for my skin.
Yeah, how's
and
it going?
My skin is so much better, but it's so dry that I feel like I've had plastic surgery. My face is really tight and
really?
I don't feel feeling emotion, but I can't portray any. And my scalp...
Have you had Botox and fillers?
I know, my lips are really chapped. Every part of my body is dry. I get headaches. I got bad back. And my scalp is like the inside of a snow globe.
Wow.
It's embarrassing. I have to put jojoba oil in my hair every night before I go to bed. My first audition in 6 months is tomorrow, guys. And it's for Caniston Duo. Apparently, I have to look like I've got bacterial vaginosis and then look relieved after when it's gone.
You'll just be the before.
Yeah.
You're still waiting for the
I'll
after.
Just be the stinky first. Yeah. And then a model will be the after. Apart from that, I'm fine.
It's right for you. I'm excited for you.
Yeah. So that's my news, really. Mm-hmm. What about you, Sinead?
I had, for the first time in such a long time, a really stress-free haircut and colour. I have this amazing hairdresser at Muse of London called Roland. He's a beautiful, tall Hungarian man. And I just showed him a picture of what I wanted, Mary-Kate / Ashley Olsen hair. And he just was like, yeah, okay. And he just did the colour and did a nice cut and he just did it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't cry. And I was really happy with it. And I left and there was no drama. There was no holding back tears. I'm really, really happy. And he was nice because I've always...
You did feel guilty, though, that you didn't tip.
Oh, I felt so guilty because they couldn't take tip on a card and I didn't have time to go and get cash. And I worried about it for a really long time. I thought, I'm going to write him a nice review, though. And everyone should go to him because he's just, it was really nice. But, I've got... I'm worried that my hair's starting to get thin around the... Basically, I think I've got receding hairline around the temples. And I started reading about... There's, hereditary female hair loss. My dad... As
hereditary female hair loss.
He's been going bald for years. So I'm like, have I inherited my dad's hairline?
Or is that not just the stress of being a sociopath?
Or if I'm just such an anxious, stressed person that I've stressed my hair. But when I lift up my hair around the temples, it's really thin. So I started taking hair vitamins and the Regain spray and spraying it into my temples, into my bald little temples. If anyone has any advice on how to regrow your hair, like that. Now when I have a ponytail, I feel like I've got just no hair at the front.
We're painting such sexy pictures of us to the listeners, aren't we? I'm just there with
You've
my
got
acne.
Stinky vagina
and a stinky purse.
Dandruffy fringe. And I'm just
bald
from the ears forward. Any advice on just how to have better, thicker hair?
Tweet us.
Please tweet us. Put it in your 5-star review. Give us a review and then write like about your
a link to the Belgravia Centre. We are talking about guilt on this episode.
Yes.
The emotion guilt that consumes us all in different ways. We're talking about the different types of guilt. We're talking about what happens when you feel guilty. And then we're just going to talk later to a guest comedian about guilt as well, an amazing guest comedian.
And the theme of guilt has arisen from two things. First of all, I got just drunk as usual and then had really bad hangover guilt because I couldn't get out of bed to come and meet you and do work.
Yesterday, yeah. So I had to change my personal trainer session.
Oh, that's another thing. Start personal training.
I have, yeah. Someone's going through something, aren't they? It's really...
Saturn returns.
Yeah.
And you had an experience where you murdered one of God's creatures last week. Do you want to tell everyone about that?
I do, because I'm really struggling to live with it, actually. I have a mouse, or had a mouse in the flat, and I bought the trap. I didn't realise that it was the most inhumane trap.
Yeah, you came back with two traps. You were like, this is the inhumane one, this is a humane one, and the humane one was the sticky one where they get stuck.
Yeah, and I thought that, I don't know, I thought I could just wash it off. I didn't read the instructions because I'm an idiot and I just wanted to deal with it straight away. So I put the sticky pad down. You were round, Norman Bates, your boyfriend, was round, and Amelia was there, my flatmate, and lo and behold, we had dinner, we came back, and there was a little cute mouse going, pulling its own leg off on the sticky pad.
It was horrible.
And then I was like, right, oh my God. It was really trying to kill itself, and
Norman
Bates didn't want to deal with it, surprisingly. You didn't want to deal with it. Amelia didn't want to deal with it. So then I just had to put the mouse in a plastic bag, get a shovel from the garden, go outside by the bins, and then whack its head in with a shovel. Never killed anything in my life. And as I whacked its head in with a shovel, my next door neighbour from Australia that I'd never met before appeared and said, what are you killing? And I was like, a mouse? No shame. I hate rodents. Snakes I can handle, but rodents, no shame. My name's Jizz. And then she shook my hand. And then I had to shove it on with a shovel again. And now we're mates. And last night I was sat in the kitchen and I saw a fucking another mouse. So I'm going to have to kill again.
Oh, and you think...
What else am I supposed to do?
And you think there's a mouse ghost now?
Well, I'm definitely being tracked by a mouse ghost.
But it's like, what do you do if they just keep coming? But also, it's horrible having to... You did the right thing. If it was dying, you had to kill it. But the whole thing's just horrible because some of them are just so cute. And
I love mice. I used to breed mice. My brother used to sell them to the local pet shop for 50p a mouse when we were little. We had a proper roaring trade.
Yeah. And now you're...
Killing them.
The trade is hunting and killing them.
Don't I?
With Jez from next door.
Jez, no shame.
No shame.
What are you killing? My flatmate? No shame. Got a spear shovel?
Actually unleashed a bloodlust in Jez.
Yeah. So that's why we're talking about guilt on this episode, because we are carrying around the burden of murder.
Yeah.
And baldness.
Yeah. And hangovers.
Yeah.
And personal hygiene.
But
problems.
I think we should lighten the mood with... A character.
Enjoy
another northern character.
Yeah, let's go back to the north where we belong.
I'm Monica Box, and welcome to Thinking Outside the Box with me, Monica Box, a podcast where I interview innovative women in business and get their top tips for success. This week, my guest is the founder of Digidot, Hull's number one and only internet company. She's a self-made millionaire, she's won a Pride of Britain award for her tireless charity work, and she's Hull's Businesswoman of the Year 3 years in a row. I'm delighted to introduce you to Jean Finger.
I'm Jean Finger. I'm the boss and a northern powerhouse, a mum, a spouse. Welcome to the office where I always win, so let's begin. Hello, Monica, and hello, listeners.
Wow, Jean, that was quite the introduction.
Thank you.
So, before we go on to talk about your illustrious career, let's get to know you a bit more personally. You mentioned being a mum and a wife. Will you tell us a little bit about your family?
Well, Monica, I live in Beverly with my beautiful son Stavros.
Yeah, sounds like a Greek name.
Yes, well, Greece is a place that's very close to my heart, as Stavros was conceived in Kos. We also live with Keith, my husband. It's actually our wedding anniversary today.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, a toast to marriage, Monica. An exchange of 3 rings. Engagement ring, wedding ring, and eternal fucking suffering. got very dark sense of your mummy.
So, moving on to your business.
Listen to this one, eh? So, my neighbour, Sheila, she come up to me and she said, hey, Jean, my husband's such an angel. I said, you're lucky, Sheila. My Keith's still alive. What am I like, eh? It's just my sense of humour, mummy. Got a very dark sense of humour, Monica. Very dark indeed.
Yes. OK,
Okay, so for anyone that hasn't heard of Digidot, why don't you tell us a little bit about your company?
Right, so Digidot is a sensor for digital innovation. Our broadband is the most advanced in Hull. Well, as it's the only one, actually.
Right, right. And what is it about the digital industry that excites you so much, Jean?
You're saying that computers are something to fear. They'll turn us all into robots. We're here to tell you, don't be scared of technology. I'll take you to an internet restaurant. Flash you my Excel spreadsheets. I've had an idea for an app that you really need to see. The future is digital. Digital. You gotta get digital. Let's get into digital.
Right. Okay. Very innovative use of Olivia Newton-John there. So, this company was founded solely by you and has developed into a multi-million pound enterprise. That must have meant a huge change in lifestyle for you, Jean.
Well, yes, it has. I haven't had to go on public transport since the turn of the millennium when I bought myself a helicopter. Eh, did you know that Hull has the second busiest heliport in the country?
No, I didn't know that. So, tell us, Jean, what led you to start Digidot?
Well, when I was 25, Monica, I was working 60-hour weeks at Goldman Sachs. No fella, no friends, and no helicopter. And one morning I awoke and stuck two Jean fingers up at that life that was making me so miserable, and I ran away to follow my dreams. I got a job as a singer on a Mediterranean cruise ship. I started out as a part of the double act, Finger and MacDonald, with Jane, a friend from the Yorkshire swinging scene. I was having the time of my life. I was young, glamorous and tanned, like a beautiful leather bag. There was quite a lot of buzz about me at the time. The captain told me that the BBC were on their way, you know, to talent scout for a show called The Cruise. When Jane MacDonald found out, she asked to see me on the top deck to practice the box. No offence, Monica. But as we were rehearsing, she shouted, "Iceberg!" She pushed me overboard. I plunged into the sea and I floated along the Med on a log, which turned out to be a dead seal. And I washed up on the shores of the island of Kos.
My God, Jean, that's an incredible story.
Kos was like this paradise, and so different from my hometown of Hull, but at the same time very similar, as there was quite a lot of people from Hull there. I got a job as a singer in a bar, and I would sing all the classics. How Deep Is Your Jean? It's Raining Jean, and the audience's favourite, Killing Jean Softly. And that's where I met Trojan.
Oh, who's Trojan?
It's just someone from my past. Someone I'd rather forget.
Okay, great. Well, moving on, if I could now ask
Trojan
you about...
Trojan was this Greek god of a farmer. He used to come and watch me perform every night and then we'd go make love in the sea. Well, if you can call it making love. He'd just pump me full of salty water until I got pregnant. I ran to tell him on his farm and discovered he had a wife and child of his own and my heart broke there and then. I decided to hitchhike back to Hull that night. And as I walked down that dusty Greek road, a lorry pulled up and there was our Keith. He was on a job delivering feta cheese and was on his way back to England. We made love that night. If you can call it making love. There was a bit of confusion, as he did try to pay me after. But I said, "No, I don't want your money. But I do need a father to my unborn child." And so he brought me back to Hull and I did a BTEC in computer science. And I've been owner of Digidot ever since.
Wow. Jean, it really sounds like you've had the most remarkable life.
Oh, Stavros, sweetie. If you're listening, I just want you to know that even though Keith isn't your biological father, he still loves you very much.
So, each week during the podcast, our guest gives us their three top tips for succeeding in business. Here's what Jean Finger had to say.
Tip one. Being a woman in a man's world is tough, so I dress powerful to feel powerful. I wear killer heels and have a killer haircut. And yes, some of my detractors have likened it to Myra Hindley. And some people might think that's a bit odd because, yes, her actions were questionable, but my God, did she have an iconic do. Tip two, diversity. It's really important to keep your workplace diverse. So just last week I hired a vegan. She's called Zoe and she's great. I mean, yes, I've had to replace all the leather in the office with bamboo to cater for her needs, but you're worth it, Zoe. You're fussy, but we love you. Tip three, no kids. There is absolutely no room for children in business.
But Jean, you've already mentioned that you do have a family with
children.
No, I've
not. I've got a failure that sponges off me. Two, if you include my husband Keith, lazy twat. He says I got OCD because I'm always Febrezing around the house. I say to him, "Keith Finger, for as long as you keep farting on that surfer, I will keep spraying the Febreze."
And finally, Jean, you look fantastic for your age. What's the secret for looking so good?
Well, Monica, it's a Greek diet of moussaka, taramasalata, baba ganoush, fresh hollet, well, and of course, quite a lot of Botox.
Well, Jean, thank you for being on the podcast. I hope you have a lovely anniversary with Keith.
Hey, I've got another one for you. It's been raining for days in Hull. My husband Keith seems very depressed by it. He keeps standing by the window, staring. If it continues, I'm going to have to let him in.
And that's it for this week's Thinking Outside the Box with me, Monica Box. If you like the episode, please subscribe, like, leave a review on Acast and iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, one more before I go. An Englishman, an Irishman and McKeith. Well, they walk into this bar and then...
Shut the fuck up, Jean.
Some great advice there. And to live by, I think, those top tips. We go by those top tips, don't we?
Yeah, Jean Finger is a character that came from a funny time in our lives when we had to create corporate comedy in Hull. So we had to write a piece of comedy for a businessman and woman breakfast. So we had to be in Hull Truck Theatre at 8 a.m. on a Monday morning performing this piece of comedy about why Hull is great. And we showed our initial attempt to the woman that was organising it. And she was just like, no. She said, this
She said, I'm worried. She said, I'm actually worried because this is just blue. And I had to Google what blue meant. And it means pornographic.
Because we had a joke about living in Shepherd's Bush, my bush.
I live there.
And she said, 300 businessmen don't want to hear about your bush on a Monday morning.
And I don't know whether I agree with that.
I disagree with that.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't feel guilty about that.
Which brings us on to last week's theme.
Guilt. Definition of guilt means the most obvious reason to feel guilty is that you actually did something wrong. The type of guilt may involve harm to others, such as causing someone physical or psychological pain. So there are three different types of guilt. There's natural guilt. So that's remorse over something you did or failed to do. Mm-hmm. Then there's toxic guilt, the underlying sense of not being a good person. And then there's existential guilt, the negative feeling that arises out of the injustice that you perceive in the world. So now we've covered all aspects of our guilty spectrums. I think it's time to move on and talk to our amazing guest, who was nominated for Best Newcomer at the recent Edinburgh Comedy Awards. She was also an Amuse Muse National New Comic finalist in 2017. And she's working on her new show for this year's Edinburgh 2019. It's Olga Cox!
Hey!
Hello. Hi. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Do you want a gin in a can or are you all right?
I'm all right, but I'll hold one.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's nice and cold. Have you recovered? We just had an incident where... What are we calling that? The flat? Like a kind of a screen fell on Olga and then Katie just...
I just went, ah! And then now we're going to sue our producers. Or you might.
I'm excited. I'm going to be that lady who sued McDonald's for the hot coffee that was too hot. Or the lady that sued the microwave company for not saying that she couldn't dry her cat in the microwave. Do you remember that?
No.
I mean, those women are my role models. And now
someone put a cat in a microwave.
Yeah, to like dry them off after rain, I think. And then the cat died because of the microwaves. Again, this is hearsay.
That really scares me because my dad actually thought he could boil an egg in a microwave. And obviously the egg would then explode. And that's now I'm just thinking about a cat's brain.
Oh.
Oh, no, yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on. So...
She's living off the compensation.
I've got PTSD.
I'm so sorry.
You just finished your tour, haven't you?
Yes, I have just finished my tour.
How did it go?
Well, the tour was fun. There were obviously terrible dates. There were really fun, extremely fun dates to the point where a woman got a quote from my show tattooed on her body the next day.
Really? Wow.
So, what was the quote? The quote was like a thing that I attributed to a former Russian, General Secretary of the Communist Party, Mikhail Gorbachev, which is something that you'd get if you saw the show. And I have no idea why she has it on her body now, but very flattering.
Amazing. Whereabouts?
The side boob area.
Oh, it's quite a sexy area.
Yeah. It's something that like a loose tank top, very much everybody could see. And the last night of the tour, I clogged the toilet in the hotel room that I was sharing with my show operator. And boy, was that a way to end the tour.
I think that's around the floor.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you admit it?
Oh yeah, I had to because it was like it's one of those budget hotels where the door is really just like some glass, and he definitely saw an outline of a woman just in despair, just leaning over and just I kept flushing and flushing, and he was like, is everything okay? And it was not.
And yes, how's it been? Obviously, it's been a while since Edinburgh now, but you had an amazing Edinburgh and you
got nominated for Best Newcomer. So jealous, but I'm just going to clap.
We're clapping your achievement.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
How was that? Was it a surprise?
It was obviously a surprise. It was the best day of my life. It was so, so exciting.
Yeah.
But I remember the day of the awards, one of the people on the panel came up to me and they were like,
a lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's so incredible that you wrote a show in your second language. At which point, because I'm originally Russian, I was like, oh, they think that it's like crazy that a person can like learn a language and learn how to joke in it. Whereas like English is pretty much my first language now of how much I speak it. And I was like, should I put an accent on? Just so they can
thank you very much.
Thank you. Can you speak slower?
Because your show, for those of you, for the listeners who don't know, it's called Fight, and it's about your, is it about your relationship with your dad?
I would assume most of the listeners don't know what the show
no,
is.
No, they do. You're really, you're like very popular.
Thank you very
much. Our producers
really
were very excited that you were coming in today.
Oh, hi, guys. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
My DMs are open. I'm originally from Russia, and the show is about how in 2014 my father got stopped at the Russian border and went missing. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Wow. But if you want to see the show, you can't now because it's
awesome. Yeah, so I guess you'll never find out. It was very heavily all the PR was that this is like a Russian girl and I'm a Russian girl. Mm-hmm. And I think they really leaned into how international they thought the show was.
Wow. I wish I'd seen it now. I'm really annoyed.
We'll see your next show.
Yeah, tell us about your new show.
My new show is called If Then, and it's about computer science, which I studied at university, and my first ever relationship, which was terrible, and how they went in parallel, and how like the complex relationship the boyfriend had with my technical abilities and other things that made me quote unquote not like other women, and so me eventually confronting him. As I built him as an AI at the end of the show.
Amazing. That sounds really cool.
Does he know about the show?
Oh, God, no.
And you're not going to mention his name or anything?
I'm not. But, like, if he stalks me as much as I stalk him and his new wife, he, like, must know that I'm doing the show. Because it's very much in the blurb.
Mm.
So I'm like, I can only assume that he's Googling me daily.
Yeah, of course. Right? We all do it.
When I Google myself, there's a country singer from America called Katie Norris, and she's got her own website. And then there's other weird website, isn't there? Lots of American Katie Norris.
Is she any good?
Not as good as me.
Is she as good as you?
No. But I haven't got my own website.
So where is you, Katie Norris, on the Google hierarchy of Katie Norris's?
I don't know. I don't know. Talk amongst yourselves while I Google myself.
I don't know where Sinead Parker is in the hierarchy. I think there might be maybe a lawyer.
So this in this show, we're talking about guilt, the emotion.
Let's party.
Yeah.
So I'm interested because obviously, like, I've talked about ex-boyfriends in my show and stuff, and I felt like a little bit guilty. Do you think you'll feel guilty about talking about your ex-boyfriend or in your show? Or because I'm like, I never know how much to say.
I think it's a really, really valid question to ask yourself. And I think, oh God, basically part of what I do outside of stand-up is I do like little, the wankiest way to say it is art projects, but they're just like these cleansing rituals that very much heavily involve my ex-boyfriends. And one of the ones that I did was I made one of my ex-boyfriends to scale out of cake, and then I ate him on camera, and then I vomited him out.
Never date a comedian. I love it. It's so true, though.
I feel like at this point, people want to date me just to see what's going to happen after we break up. What Taylor Swift-esque bullshit that I'm going to pull out. And at that moment, I was like, I don't feel anything terrible towards this person. It just felt like a thing that I really wanted to do. And I asked him for permission, and he gave it to me. And like, I'm not encouraging everybody to go out and get permission, because obviously not everyone is like in a point in their lives where they can... they can ask that question, and I'm speaking only for myself. So obviously you do have claim on your own experiences, otherwise you wouldn't be able to talk about anything from your past, because like someone as it was in the room when you were doing that thing. But at the same time, I am very conscious of, and this show is going to be trickier, but I'm trying my best to stay the same. I only talk about how I felt in those things, so nothing has been ever revealed about the people. Mm-hmm. So when you see me making the guy out of cake, eating him and vomiting, you could see that I'm in distress, I'm trying to work through feelings, but at no point do you learn anything about him. Mm-hmm. So as long as like
it focuses on you and how you felt.
Then it doesn't feel, because I'm working through my own, it's a very selfish thing, and I'm working through my own trauma. It's not really about them or their character traits. So as long as it stays that way, I feel fine about it.
But at
the same time, obviously I would feel fine about it, because I'm still fucking doing these things and I need to justify themselves.
I really want to see it.
It's on YouTube. It's very upsetting.
That's what I'll be doing. I'm on for the wank bank.
And I won't be feeling guilty about that.
No. Do you think are you prone to guilt more than like... I think
that's like my main driver in life.
Really?
Right. Oh my God, I get really angry.
Do you?
I think anger is my thing. I really lash out at people and I feel really, really bad afterwards. Wow. Yeah, so don't get too close to me, because I abuse that so fucking
what,
hard.
What sends you? Strangers or friends? People close to you?
This is a long answer. So this is part of my show, and when you learn a new language, you start articulating things you never could articulate before. The same way that like in an Inuit language, we have five words, they have five words for snow, and for you it would just be snow. So once you have five words for it, you start to distinguish between a thing you never even like examined that way. Or in Russian, we don't have the word for empathy, which is huge. I didn't know what empathy was until I was 17, and when I learned it, I was like, I see the world in a new light, which is huge. So when I started studying computer science, you start thinking in a certain way, and there's words for it. So then you know how to name that way of thinking. Is you have to account for every possible scenario when writing a computer program, because if you don't account for every possible scenario, the computer program crashes. So you have this condition yourself to think of like, what is the every possible human scenario that possibly could happen right now? So I am in my head living through 11 different scenarios right now of where I pass out, where I accidentally offend you, whatever. So sometimes I'll be upset about scenario 8 when I haven't even entered like the beginning of it, right? Does that make sense?
You're thinking about it.
I'll be upset about like how I fucked up my Oscars acceptance speech when I'm like in my bathtub. Wait, where did we start this?
So, yeah, I asked if you get angry at people close to you or strangers.
Yeah, so basically I will be upset at people for shit they haven't done, because I will go on a tangent in my head where they've done a bunch of stuff they haven't done, just because I will deduce it from a text message. And I'll be like, I asked him to do this and he probably didn't. He probably fucking didn't. And this time he's going to be like, why are you so overreacting about me not doing the thing? I don't even know he didn't do the thing yet.
You'll create your own narrative.
Yeah, and then I'm there and I really rile myself up, because I'm already living through that scenario. It's really bad.
And then Huge knocks at the door and you punch him.
How fucking dare! And he's got the thing in his hand and I'm like, fuck you. You're upset that he brought the thing, so your anger doesn't have anywhere to go.
Ugh. I definitely read things from text messages and create a whole scenario that I've been wronged. I think it depends what you're... I think I frame everything deep down as like, they hate me and they think I'm a twat. And it's a self-esteem thing. So I'll like react to things and it'll just be like a casual WhatsApp message maybe from you. And then I'll have to check. Like,
you probably think I'm a piece of shit.
That's the sort of thing you look when you go on Instagram and you kind of see like someone's liked something, like an ex, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then you think they're getting married or they're moving in together. That kind of thing. And you just like torture yourself.
Oh, that's insane.
That's what you feel guilty. Shameful on yourself, I think. Yeah.
It's a way of thinking of like you try to stop yourself from having, whereas computer science is a field where you're encouraged to think that way.
Yeah.
So you just train your brain to account for everything.
Yeah.
Wow. So you see things quite literally, but then from that you create this emotional trauma for yourself.
Yeah. So in all of my, I have already mourned all of my exes both getting married and dying.
Yeah.
And then to have speeches for them. Oh, yeah. What you would say.
Big time.
Yeah.
I've lived through every possible comeback ever.
I'm more likely to, I think, imagine my own funeral than someone else's.
No. What music is playing at your funeral?
It's just a series of me singing songs.
Pre-recorded?
Yeah.
At what point do you think you'll record the death album?
I don't know. I'm already working on it. Set for release, you know, soon. It's just a series of me singing sort of ba-ba-ba-doop songs.
You're getting people to send like videos of themselves.
Yeah. I'll take requests. Yeah, I'll take requests. Yeah. No, I definitely. Yeah, that's.
Can I do a poem?
No, you won't be there. You die with me.
Yeah, I'll already be dead.
Oh my God, do you have like a twin tomb?
Oh my God, imagine.
I would love that.
Like I would eat that.
Like a queen size casket?
Yeah. Her cradling my dead body.
You can be Big Spoon.
I'm guilty of that, actually. I try and hold Sinead in the night.
Why is that a bad thing?
I don't know.
Well, because she won't give me any affection in real life on a day-to-day basis. Oh. And it'll all
so it's
come
super
out
subconscious.
Yeah, but it's not even towards me. Yeah. It's because you think there's a man in the bed.
Yeah, and then because of your farts.
And you feel really ashamed after
So you guys sleep together?
We have done. I can't sleep in a bed at anyone at the moment because I'm going through a breakup. So it just gives me like severe anxiety.
Yeah, because me and my boyfriend had a row, and because I live around the corner from you, I came to your house to sleep, and then I got into bed with you for comfort, and then I woke up and you'd gone.
I know, because I was having panic attack about my ex-boyfriend, so I couldn't sleep in a bed with her.
So I went home, and then I went, and he was like, "Oh hi," and I was like, "You didn't even know I was like gone. Like I'd ran away from home, came back at 3 a.m. and he was like, "Just watching
this is our lives." You look shocked.
Valid question. May I ask?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How does the introduction of the other happen with a significant other? We were like, hi, this is Katie.
Yeah,
And she's a huge part of my life.
I know, because like...
I don't know.
And when, what are boyfriends' attitudes towards this?
Yeah. Well, I think boyfriends have always been terrified of me because I could fuck Sinead better. I make her laugh more. And I know everything about them, including how big their dick is and what their vulnerabilities are, if they've cried or not. I know literally every detail. And so when they meet me, it's like I'm looking at them, they're looking at me, and I'm like, hello. And they're like, oh my God, she knows everything. But I want to move on because I prepared some questions.
Please, 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 please.
So you just have to say whether you're innocent or guilty. And you can both play.
Okay.
Okay, right. So have you ever ghosted anyone?
Guilty.
Guilty.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. Right. Who did you ghost? Or
I'm a huge fan of ghosting.
Really? I've never ghosted
Being
anyone.
Being ghosted or just ghosting?
Both. Yeah. I think it's... Okay, so I think obviously if you've had a relationship with a person or you know a person from before, yes, it's unethical. But if I've gone on 2 dates with you, neither of us are texting each other, why do you gotta come out and be like, I don't think we should see each other anymore? It assigns interest to me that isn't there. Like, I haven't texted you, so why are you breaking up a thing that isn't a thing yet? We've gone on 2 dates. Mm. It assigns too much interest on me, and it also creates a hierarchy of, I got broken up with. Like, if I'm not, like, if I didn't ask, don't fucking tell me. I just think it's, like, overly dramatic, and I'm all for ghosting.
Wow. There was a guy that I was seeing a few years ago and we were seeing each other for a few months and he turned up. We actually slept together a lot and the last time I saw him, he turned up with roses. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, I just don't fancy you. And then he stayed over and like, then he left and I never spoke to him again. But I think he must have sensed it. So he never tried to speak to me. I got a drunk message saying, you're beautiful at 3 a.m. with spelling mistakes. And then I never responded to that. And then we just never spoke again.
A two-word spelling mistake situation.
I know. Anyway, another question. So have you ever been bitching about someone and then they've just appeared either behind you or just heard the whole thing?
Guilty.
Guilty.
Really?
I did it. Well, the one that sticks in my memory and I feel so guilty about it is when I was on a school retreat. Catholic retreat. And there was this guy and he was just going around. He was going through this phase of just going, you're damn right. And like punching his chest and then holding his arm up. And he'd just go, you're damn right. And he was making me cringe loads. And I did maybe a 2-minute impression of him. doing the whole you're damn right. And then I turned around and he was right behind me. And there was no way of... of disguising what I
did. How did he react?
He pretended he hadn't seen it, and I think I like
ghosted
came
him.
Back, and then I went, "Oh, I mean, I've taken some painkillers, and I'm feeling a bit dizzy. I'm sorry." Like it was very.
That's so awful. I'd die. Oh my God. Yeah.
Right, next. Have you ever dined and dashed or ridden and ditched?
What? Oh, what's riding and ditching?
Taxi. So if I think you went off without paying.
I've had free gas.
Oh, you've...
No, I haven't. I'm just... That's my guess on riding and ditching.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I guess it's either that or...
Taxi.
Yeah, taxi.
I've done that when I first moved to London. Got an Uber. No, I got a black cab and it was something like £60 and I was outraged and I was like, I'm not paying that. And he rang the police and I was being really drunk and like self-righteous. So I was like, well, call, bring the police. And then I opened the door and was like, just getting fresh air. And then I ran into my dad's block of flats and like zigzagged. I remember like going through, like winding through the and going up the stairs and being like, he's going to chase me, so I'm going to have to lose him. And then he gave up, I think. And then I was really paranoid for ages.
She's amazing. It's like an Arctic Monkeys music video. Yeah.
I didn't feel guilty about that. Like, it wasn't very far and I didn't know about London then. I'd just come from the north and was like, you know,
where
like
had you got
pounds.
A black cab as well as a dolphin square.
Like, yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, but have you ever dashed from a restaurant?
No,
I've done that once.
I
was 17 and we dashed from a curry house in Taunton. Sorry about that. Rajpoo, it's called. we'll have a Sauvignon and a chicken tikka. With our West Country accents. We went back and we had to go back because Connie forgot her handbag. And then when we got back to the restaurant, they were like, it's unethical. And then we had to pay and it was really awful.
It's such a shame that you had to pay. Yeah.
I know. It's such a shame. Been back since. It's a lovely restaurant.
Nice.
Rajpoo and Taunton. Shout out. So that was, we shared.
Yeah, any more?
Well, not really, no. Have you ever faked an orgasm?
Have you ever had a real orgasm?
No. No. Yeah, definitely faked.
I did in my early days.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had one before.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could never go back now.
Same.
Yeah.
I thought that I could come masturbating, but I couldn't come from sex.
Yeah, same.
And
yeah.
I just assumed that I just was not one of the people who came from sex when I came. Yeah. And once I knew that I could.
Yeah, then it was psychological.
Yeah, then the barrier's gone. Yeah.
But it was with the same boyfriend. So up until that point, I was faking. And then I had a real one. And I found myself in a situation where I had to fake faking it because I was like, oh, I'll just do the same noise I've been doing before.
Oh my God.
Yeah, how dare you fake
such
an
a
orgasm?
Rabbit hole.
Yeah. I used to clench my feet because my fat was like. Like to pretend I was releasing something, I think. You know, like,
yeah. I mean, we should tell everyone all about how, yeah, so about when you know a girl's faking it.
We'll
if
plug.
You've got, yeah, so thank you very much for coming on our podcast. When can we see you do some comedy?
Socially and on the stage?
Thank you so much. I have loads of previews for If Then coming up all over the country. And if you want to find out when I'm coming to see you, please go on Twitter at rockandrolga and on my website www.rockandrolga.com.
Thank you so much. You've been amazing.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Episode 4.
How are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah.
The gin is running through my veins.
Yeah, it's been quite cathartic.
But I'm thinking about that stir fry, the bowl of stir fry I've left on the side at home that I'm going to go home and devour.
Unless the mouse gets in there.
No, I've put a plate over it so the mouse can't get in there. Yeah. Oh, God, I don't want to kill a mouse. I feel too guilty.
I'm going to eat more because that stir fry you made was really delicious.
It didn't fill.
I'm so hungry now because my appetite's ridiculous. It's relentless.
Well, that's good.
But thank you so much for listening, guys.
Yeah, and thank you for listening each week. We are very excited about this podcast. We're getting more listeners every week and that fills us with joy. Oh, and the live podcast and the Burn the Witch as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can catch us on Instagram at Norris and Parker, Twitter at NorrisParker26, on Facebook, and leave a review on Acast or iTunes, whatever you get your podcasts. And remember that we've got our live episode on the 1st of June at the Underbelly Festival at 3:30. We'll be having special guests for that. And then we're also doing Burn the Witch, which is our Edinburgh show, on the 22nd of May at 9:30. At the Underbelly Festival.
A nice selection of times there, whether you want a civilised daytime or a raucous evening.
Yeah,
we can cater for all needs.
Exactly. Or you can go to sleep to our beautiful dulcet tones.
Yeah. After you've left us a review.
Nice one.
Bye.
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 listening to a Red Apple Creative original podcast. For more great podcasts from Red Apple, just go to redapplecreative.co.uk.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.